Think about the last meeting that drained your soul, the family dinner where everyone stared at their phones, or the networking event where nobody actually connected. Now recall a gathering that left you energized, maybe a conversation that stretched past midnight, or a work session where ideas flowed effortlessly. What made the difference? Most of us assume good gatherings happen by accident, sprinkled with some magical dust of charisma or luck. But what if the ability to create meaningful connection is actually a skill we can learn? This question sits at the heart of understanding how we come together, from business meetings to weddings, dinner parties to conferences. The gap between gatherings that transform us and those that bore us isn't about budget or venue size. It's about intentionality. And in our fragmented world, where loneliness has become an epidemic despite our hyperconnectivity, learning to gather well isn't just nice, it's necessary. Most gatherings fail because we confuse category with purpose. It's a networking event, isn't a purpose, it's a label. Helping newcomers find mentors in their industry is a purpose. Brooklyn's Red Hook Community Justice Center reimagined courtrooms around solving community problems rather than processing cases. Judge Calabrese sits at eye level, shakes defendants' hands, and has access to interventions beyond incarceration, resulting in a 10-20% reduction in repeat offenses. When Parker barred her husband from her baby shower, she later realized the real purpose was preparing both partners for their transformation from couple to family. When New York Times executive editor Dean Baquet started the legendary Page One meeting with audience metrics instead of editor pitches, he turned ritual into cultural transformation. The counterintuitive truth: the more specific your purpose, the more passion it creates. Meetups data proves this. Groups with highly specific names like LGBT couples hiking with dogs attract more committed participants than generic ones. Real commitment requires real trade-offs. When a book festival claimed their purpose was stitching together community but refused a 2-minute audience connection exercise, their true purpose became clear. Knowing whom to exclude is as important as whom to include. Most hosts embrace bold visions until facing the guest list, then cave to obligation. But over-inclusion dilutes focus. Even pleasant but irrelevant guests drain energy. Osman Abu State's students-only bar Skara B in Germany gained legendary status precisely because he excluded everyone else, even the vice mayor. The Judson Manor program in Ohio houses music students alongside elderly residents, not just any young people, but specifically musicians. Campus racial dialogue groups discovered that focused conversations between specific groups in historical conflict produce more breakthroughs than generic multicultural discussions. Thoughtful exclusion actually activates diversity. When social codes are explicit rather than implicit, you don't need cultural knowledge. You just need tonight's rules. Every purpose has an ideal size. 6 people foster intimacy, 12 to 15 balance trust with diverse opinions, 30 creates party energy, 100 to 150 maintains tribe-like connection. The venue matters too. Facilitator Patrick Frick notes that 95% of his options disappear in a boardroom because participants automatically follow hierarchical patterns. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld observes that the room is doing 80% of the job. Gatherings need physical boundaries to contain energy. Game designer Eric Zimmerman proved this when players abandoned a board game once its surrounding walls were removed. Many hosts aim to be chill, avoiding authority. This fails guests. When hosts abdicate power, others fill the vacuum, often undermining the gathering's purpose. As one expert noted, chill is you caring about you masquerading as you caring about them. Leaving guests alone means leaving them to one another. When a dinner host steps away, domineering guests hijack conversations. As Isaiah Berlin observed, freedom for the wolves has often meant death to the sheep. Generous authority means wielding power selflessly for others' benefit. Richard Werman cut off a speaker's tie at TED to enforce dress codes. Amy Schumer firmly handled hecklers. The Alamo Drafthouse ejects talking violators, angering individuals but benefiting the collective. Hosts must temporarily equalize guests by neutralizing status differences. Thomas Jefferson seated diplomatic dinners pell-mell rather than by rank. President Obama alternated boy-girl-boy-girl when taking questions. Nora Abusteit enforces punctuality, holds equal standards, and explicitly asks guests to make two new friends. Successful gatherings end with more guest-to-guest connections than host-to-guest connections. A new trend has emerged: invitations with explicit rules. The influencer salon gathers 12 strangers monthly with strict guidelines. No discussing careers or sharing last names until after dinner, limited photography, warnings about no-shows. These rule-based gatherings replace passive-aggressive etiquette with intentionally designed experiences. Traditional etiquette is fixed and exclusionary. Pop-up rules flip these traits. They're experimental, humble, and democratizing. Unlike etiquette, which requires years of internalization, rules require no advance preparation. Dinner en Blanc exemplifies this power. What began as François Pasquier's 1988 homecoming celebration in Paris now hosts up to 15,000 guests globally. Participants arrive in pairs dressed in white, carrying picnic baskets with champagne, elegant food, and fold-up tables. Explicit rules create accessibility. With people checking phones 150 times daily, etiquette stands no chance. But explicit rules succeed by creating an experimental game. Restrictions that might feel oppressive if permanent become compelling when temporary. Parker created I Am Here Days, full-day neighborhood immersions with friends. The rules: attend the full 10 to 12 hours, turn off technology, remain present, maintain one conversation at meals, be game for anything. These constraints created rare intimacy, forcing them beyond chit-chat and attracting curious locals, leading to debates with Orthodox Jews, fortune readings in Chinatown temples, and invitations to see rare blooming plants in strangers' apartments. Your gathering begins when guests first learn of it. Conflict resolution expert Rhonda Slim notes that 90% of success is determined beforehand. Michelle LaPrize transformed a dinner party by asking guests to send photos of happy moments, which became Christmas tree decorations, sparking meaningful conversations. Names signal purpose. Rachel Greenberger renamed office hours to community table, evolving it into gatherings where students brought baked goods and eventually spawning monthly meetings of food entrepreneurs and academics. Opening moments are critical, yet often squandered. Never start with logistics. At a funeral, a minister wasted a powerful moment with parking instructions instead of comfort. Effective openings honor guests while inspiring awe. Tuscan butcher Dario Cecchini greets guests with wine and bread, then dramatically presents steaks while thundering "to beef or not to beef" before serving everyone himself. The Tough Mudder Pledge transforms individual challenge into collective experience by having participants commit to teamwork over personal success, fusing them into a tribe. Conferences breed phoniness, squandering genuine connection. Parker's anti-WEF dinner during the World Economic Forum required guests to turn off networking node. Each participant gave a toast about what makes a good life, beginning with a personal story, with the final person singing. The experiment succeeded so brilliantly, they formalized it as 15 toasts and replicated it worldwide. Authenticity can be deliberately designed. We all have stump speeches, polished presentations we've given countless times, but our sprout speeches, vulnerable, still forming ideas, create genuine connection. The Moth's founder noticed Poetry Slam audiences perked up during poets' unscripted preambles rather than their performances. Meaningful gatherers aren't afraid of negativity. At 15 Toasts dinners, themes like fear proved more powerful than happiness. Counterintuitively, increasing the stranger quotient unlocks honesty. People share more deeply with strangers who have no stake in their lives. As host, model the vulnerability you seek early. When traditional facilitation failed at an architecture firm, Parker staged a theatrical cage match, the brain versus the body, complete with coaches and Rocky music. Too many gatherings end abruptly. Lady Elizabeth Anson suggests ending while at least 20 people remain on the dance floor, quitting while you're ahead rather than letting events peter out. Renaissance Weekend's closing session invites participants to share what they would say if these were their final words. The art of gathering isn't about perfection. It's about creating moments of genuine human connection. In our fragmented age, choosing to gather well may be our most revolutionary act.